on Three's Company on a podcast?
No, never. Not that I can remember.
True.
It's almost always just me and Mr. King.
Did you ever think you'd still be talking about your band on podcasts when you started?
When I started it? No. Well, I wouldn't even know what a podcast is when we started it.
Did you ever think you'd still be getting interviewed about the band at this
that
point?
That was the dream.
Was it really? Yeah.
For the majority of the last 19 years, I would not have believed it, no.
Should I? That's very cool. Yeah, I didn't even know you guys were fucking Canadian until like a year ago. Which is awful because I grew up in Ontario too. It's unfortunate. But with the name, right? And then like
Yeah,
finding bands on the internet, you just assume where they're from.
That's a strange name for a Canadian band to have. That's a good point.
Clearly somewhere in the Midwest, right?
Right.
Yep.
No, there you go.
Yeah. Matt came prepared. He's got fucking headphones, a fancy mic.
Deep, deep, deep. I don't know if it's deep. I don't know if I have to change my. This is a podcast. You got to have good audio quality here, right?
Making me look like amateur hour over here. So, King, this guy's my neighbor.
Oh yeah, you live in.
This is the first time I've ever had that conversation on this podcast, and it will definitely be the last. Because
yeah,
I was
let's
like,
go
"Are you
deep.
guys
Let's go
still?"
deep.
Yeah, there's like three fucking bars in town. That's literally all there is in town. Oh, and check this out. I've actually counted this, Mark, from to the 15 pizza joints. No kidding, 15 in a fucking stretch you can drive through in 20 minutes flat if the lights are good.
You like our pizza, man? What can we say?
I'm from Long Island, like New York, so I think it could like double that.
Well, that makes more sense, though.
Yeah. But within a 20-minute drive, like I'm saying, like you can drive from one border to another in less than 20 minutes and hit 15 pizza joints. You got that?
I feel like
we
Long
lost
Island
David.
Is the pizza belt.
It's the pizza belt. I haven't been, but I do know they do have pizza.
can confirm. Is that true? Do you guys have pizza? Is that true, David?
What was that?
Just asking if you have pizza in Long Island.
Yeah, pretty good pizza.
The podcast is off to a great start.
There's a few spots. Yeah.
I spent a bit of time like in upstate New York, and the pizza didn't really compare to like Long Island.
You guys are your own like thing over there in Long Island, though.
It's like New York slices with like a little more effort, I guess, put into it.
True. I meant like musically too.
Oh,
to get off pizza.
Yeah, the music here is good.
Where from Long Island are you? How far out in the city? Can you guys hear me? Is this working?
Yeah.
A little bassy. Sorry, I'm just doing a preamble check right now. Anyways, I haven't really started much. Got an excellent view of Mark's crotch at the moment. Oh, and another. Holy shit, we got three.
No way.
Oh,
no
it's
way.
A live thing?
Well, it's a live thing if you guys are cool with me putting video on the Patreon. If you just want audio, that's fine too. I do try to get video content for some of the Patreon subscribers. I put it up for free.
Yeah, all good.
Ooh. It's up to y'all. I'd be more down. Gary's on mute and sleeping apparently.
Shit.
Yeah, that's it's about right there.
Guys, I just woke up.
Your filter even looks tired. Is your computer half asleep? What is that?
I got purple haze over there.
Yeah, for real.
You're definitely
a 90s capsule here.
Are you in a hot box?
I wish.
Yeah.
No daycare, like, just smoke. It's just one a smoke machine and a bed. That's his life.
The only way to live.
Okay, my
well, now
crib.
David's not the only one baked here. Good. Cool, man. I'm so hyped to have you guys all on. So the three of you have never done a podcast all together.
I can't
So
pick one.
what I'm going to suggest as someone who has recorded podcasts with multiple guests, when we shoot off a question, my left to right is Mark, Matt, Gary. If you want to answer in that fashion, try not to talk over each other too much. Obviously, over chatter is going to happen. That's fine. As long as there's just not like three people saying the same thing at the same fucking time so that nobody can make sense of anything audibly. Y'all feel what I'm saying there? Good
Sounds good
nod.
to me.
Thumbs up. Cool. All right.
Yes, but part of our music is the intricate intertwining of the parts.
Oh yeah, I have no issue with
So
that. As long
to
as there's not three
keep
of you
things
talking.
conceptual if we're all talking at the
Yeah.
same time.
As long as the three of you aren't telling three different stories at the same time to make it an audible fucking garbage that nobody can hear. Because when I listen to podcasts like that, I just want to fucking tear my fucking brain out with like a fork and just get it in through my ear and out. So
I don't know. At the end of the day, we could just say it's an experimental podcast. You just don't get
it's very avant-garde.
it.
Oh, we've already lost Mark. Cool. So there's only two, so I'm gonna get it started. Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase, and thanks for joining us in our fifth season. It's 2025 now. If you're new here, let me get this out of the way really quick. We're online at notjustaphase.net. We're on Instagram and TikTok at Not Just a Phase Worldwide. We're on Twitter at NJAP Worldwide. And we have a Patreon with video podcasts and bonus content if you want to help support the expansion of our podcast and the Blogspot and all the other content we continue to create for you. Shout out to our partners at Local Media, who are also the boys in Medulla Lunar. Check out their page for video editing needs and check out their band because they rip. And welcome to the show. Again, thanks for listening to us after all these years, year five now. It's still fucking up my mind. I got a special co-host today. David, he's from Real Low Emo on Instagram, the page and label. He's on the mic co-hosting with me today. His label is releasing the finest quality emo bands. You can check out everything he's cooking up on Instagram, as I said, at Real O Emo. We've collaborated in the past, making playlists together, and we've had so many chats about who's the bigger emo dork. So, David, thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like Rob likes to find reasons for me to not quit the internet. So it's good to be here today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I've talked you out of throwing in the towel a few times, I think, eh? And we're hyped because we got members of Newfound Interest in Connecticut on the show today. And despite their name, they're actually from my area. The band is taken from a song by the Get Up Kids called The Newfound Interest in Massachusetts, as I believe. And these Canadian boys are originally from the Richmond Hill slash Toronto area, from what I've seen. And before you ask, that is like an hour north from me. They're a Midwest emo band that's heavily influenced by a newer genre of music called industrial dishwasher. No one's quite sure how they invented that genre, but we'll talk about that. Don't worry, we'll ask. They were formed in 1999, from what I've read, and only a band for a very short run. They released their debut EP in 2002 called Less Is More or Less. Then an album in 2005, Tell Me About the Long Dark Path Home. Both albums are two very different animals, in my opinion. Tell Me About the Long Dark Path Home was recently repressed on CD and vinyl by a Canadian label called We Are Busybodies. The band broke up later that year after that 2005 re-release, but in their short career span, they played with quite a few big names amongst the list I want to mention. They shared the stages with Canadian legends like Alexis on Fire and Death from Above 1979. They recently reunited to play New Friends Fest 2024 in Toronto and had plans to do some American dates as well, but passport issues sort of hindered those events. And we got a lot of questions about this band's lore and their future plans, and we're hoping to get some answers. So let's get into it. First off, was all of that correct?
Was close enough. Is like, we did end up playing a couple of shows in the States. I know Matt, I could see Matt was wagging his finger there. We found our way in for New York and in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. So what happened after? What did it go wrong after that, Matt? Or
was No, it was actually it wasn't a passport issue. It was a
Oh, right.
visa, a work visa issue. We it's like the you have to join the musicians union and then pay like $600 to apply for a work visa. Is it happening again?
The little buzz.
I'm just gonna go back to low tech and use my computer speaker. I thought I was gonna try and be fancy with this
It was working totally
microphone.
fine before we actually had you start talking. It's unfortunate.
It works great when you're not talking.
It actually works great, like there. Maybe you're
Well,
just too close with it. I don't know.
maybe. Well,
Fucking
this is,
technology.
yeah.
One day it'll work for
Yeah,
us,
like
I
that.
swear.
Take three. Sounds good.
You
So
got this.
So, Mike's or vinyl scratch. So, was all that research correct, Matt? You said there was something incorrect there?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't a passport issue. It was a work visa related issue. So as Canadians to play shows in the US, we have to join the musicians union. And then after that, we can apply for a work visa. Normally takes 2 months, but they recently increased the price to make it more efficient. But now it takes 6 months, apparently, to get your visa. So we had to cancel some shows because we applied 3 months before those shows, and we didn't get our visa until 2 weeks ago, which is ridiculous. Because if an American band wants to play in Canada, you just need a letter to say that you're invited. It's
From your
like
mom or
a
dad is
yeah, it's
fine
like a
too.
it's like a
Like, yeah.
vampire or something. You know, you just like they'll come into your home if you invite them. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way the other way around. So, anyways, we got our visas, card-carrying union members, and
Hey.
ready to party until the end of June because you can only get a visa for up to a year.
On. So you guys are officially working fucking legitimate musicians who can travel to the United States
Yeah, I
now.
mean, the American Federation of Musicians, I will go on the record as saying, has the least amount of power over anything, and it does not actually provide anything except the opportunity to work in the United States. We did get a Happy Holidays card yesterday. Email card, e-card, but it was nice. It was
The
nice
union? From the
that they
union?
thought of us, yeah, from the union.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were shitting me. That's hilarious.
Yeah, there's a JPEG of the like director's signature, so he really means it.
They like standing around a Christmas tree or something?
No pictures, just gifts.
Oh, just gifts. No gifts. Just no gifts, just gifts.
It's well played.
Perfect,
So
perfect.
yeah, that was a little bit of a boring admin story, but it did suck for us because we had some sick shows in California with this amazing band versus Self. I don't know if you guys know about them. Oh yeah, they're dope.
Yeah,
Definitely
and
know them, yeah. we had to cancel. It was tragic. It
Worse
felt
than that, we had to watch
sucks.
the reels from those shows the next day of just
Ouch.
a packed venue and everybody going crazy and like just imagining being on stage. Yeah, while
Ouch.
it was cold and rainy here.
Serious FOMO.
Yeah, to the extreme.
Damn, yeah, Versus Self is one of the most popping names in screamo and emo right now in general. Big shout out to Kyle, who's been on the show and is a friend of the show.
Yeah, just
That
incredible.
yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, guys. That's terrible.
All right. Hello. Stop. Hi, it's Mark from the Newfound Interest in Connecticut, and you're listening to And Then They Kissed on Not Just a Phase podcast. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm curious if any of you three had actually listened to this podcast before or after agreeing to come chat today. I was like asking if you guys have heard the format before.
For us, emo was just a phase. So we weren't sure if we were allowed in until we got the invite. And like vampires, we've now entered your podcast realm.
Perfect. I prefer when people haven't heard the format because I kind of keep some of the questions the same. They usually go in somewhat of a similar order. So I like when I have some new jacks, so to speak, some fresh meat. Outside of music, what are you guys doing to occupy your free time? What sort of hobbies and passions are currently happening? None whatsoever.
For me, I mean, I've aged into disc golf of all things. That's one thing I'd spend a lot of time on. Okay.
What is
yeah,
that
otherwise I'm busy with my kids.
So you're like in your late 30s then?
No, I'm just turned 41. I just entered my 40s recently.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a few years before the disc golf thing, but I see all my older friends doing it. And I'm like, I'm like 3-4 years away. I'm just waiting for it. I don't know how it happens, but one day you're like, this is so sick.
Yeah, you just wake up and it's over. Like this is me now.
What about yourself, Matt? Are you disc golfing?
I've dabbled, but outside of music, I help run a music festival and I do like tour managing for bands and other music admin stuff. So I guess that's a passion. I used to play a lot of squash, which is also an older white guy thing, common. I mean, the Egyptians are the best, but whatever. Thing to
what
do.
Is squash?
Squash, it's a racket sport where you hit a little black ball against the wall, and then your opponent then has to hit the same ball against the
squash
wall.
Squash different than racquetball?
Yes.
Is it different than highlight?
No.
Different racket, different ball, different court markings. But yeah, but I gave up squash because I now have an 11-month-old child, which takes up an enormous amount of time.
Well, congrats.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Gary, are you doing something that's slightly more adrenaline filled than this?
I play a lot of chess.
What's chess?
That's what you're looking for.
This is really the old man pod.
This is basically how it looks like, but I'm usually playing chess at this time of night.
Well, like chess.com.
Chess.com. I was a Lee Chess guy, but then sold my soul to chess.com as the ratings seem more official, and I just went with that one.
What's your
Are you?
score?
Yeah, are you ranked?
Oh man, I don't know if I should be sharing this kind of I'm getting I'm around 1400 in the what is it, the rapid.
Globally?
Well, like it's like a rating. It's just a rating. I'm like
Gary,
is
you've been amongst the elites in gaming in the past,
that
haven't you?
I have.
Brag.
I don't like to brag.
Gary's got a
But
history of being an elite gamer.
are we
there
in the
was this.
presence of a professional here? Is that what's happening?
If I spill too much, you guys will find my record. So I'm gonna keep it on the DL. But
Okay.
yeah, that's what mostly I'm doing. And yeah, just some other musical project that oh, nice shirt, Matt. Yeah, that's the
Is that the
project
project? For
that
those
I've
who aren't
been
watching, you want to give us some info on that one?
Sure. Yeah, I just kind of started as a solo thing for me like 2 or 3 years ago. Just kind of writing all the parts and using some like MIDI drums usually. Matt was in it for a while. We were playing live, and then we had another old drummer of Newfound, actually, Danny. He was playing drums as well live for a bit. But yeah, just kind of going solo now. It's a little bit quieter these days, trying to write some more tunes. Yeah, it's called Medveda. One record's out. It's up on all the mediums and vinyl. So that's my yeah, that's kind of the other thing that's ha happening for me musically.
Word. All right, I think this is my turn now. So I found you guys through like YouTube. Like The Long Dark Path was on there. Like I'm sure like a lot of people found you guys that way before you guys went on streaming. And I think it was Mark who left a comment saying that like you had plans to like repress the album. But this was like years ago, and it took maybe I don't know, like 7 years to get to the point where The Long Dark Path was actually re-released. So I'm just wanted to know what was like the process that to get that done and why it took so long.
I think to answer the last part of the question, a lot of what took so long is that it was sort of self-seeding. Like you'd have like your comment, my reply, but like it took a number of years just for somebody to find it on a torrent site and then email or find us and ask if they could upload to YouTube, and then YouTube took its time to find all its people, and it took enough time for it to start. It took a while before we realized what was happening there, and then had labels starting to reach out to us. And so like it's just like all of those things individually, since no one was actively doing them, there's no PR campaign or anything like that, right? Like that each one of those things took its own time. Yeah, like, and then a few years later, it brought us all together too, right? Like, it's just, it's, it all happened in a very organic way, but because it was organic, that I think, had, it needed to find its own time.
Do you remember like the point where you're like looking around and you see all that like there's like a lot of like interest like building up on this album?
Yeah, it was kind of like a it was a really yeah, like Mark says, kind of like a slow build. Like everything kind of took time to start, get going. And the YouTube was definitely one of the main catalysts. There was also a few like really glowing reviews on, was it Rate My Music? Is that the website?
Yeah, that's it.
A lot of people, there was a few people that were just like, this album was like important to them. And it was, and then I remember it was like 2014, mine and Moshe's other band was on tour, and we're like, somebody's like, "Oh, my friend back home got like a sleeve of your album cover, you know, like a full arm sleeve tattoo." I'm like, "Oh,
Wow.
that's wild. That's cool." And then like I ran the we had like a I had a Discogs page with all my bands releases from Newfound onwards, and I started selling like I held on to like I think we maybe had about 100, 150 of the original CDs left. And it started just like get like an order, and then a couple months later, another order for a CD, and then like two in a month, and then three in a month. It really just like slowly built. Basically by 2020, sold all CDs, and we're like, well, people still like it seems to be getting more and more. And we'd been approached by people who were like, "Oh, we want to release your stuff," and we're like, "Okay, well, you know, let us know." Kind of just like not, you know, feeling each other out. And but when we finished selling out all those CDs on Discogs, our friend Eric, who originally put out the record, still kind of puts out records, not necessarily like our type of music, but he's pretty has a pretty eclectic label, and he's been a close friend for, you know, 24 years. So when he's like, "Oh, I'll put it out," and there was a record label in Spain and UK, kind of, so they all did like a cost share on the first run of LPs, and then that sold out, so we did another run, and then that sold out, and then we just did our third run, and that's already sold out. You know, and it was released in July. So I don't know, maybe we should make bigger runs, or maybe we should just keep doing like batches of 500 to be like, "Yo, no, it's sold out, pressing of the vinyl." But anyways, yeah, that's
It's
really.
certainly exciting to see like the momentum build, like when for like bands that you thought like were obscure, and then like everybody starts liking them.
Yeah, it's I mean, to be in the band like that is kind of like a dream come true or something, because we looked up to so many bands that we felt didn't get the attention that they deserved, and for people to kind of see something in us is a really special honor, to be part of that like canon of sleeper hits.
Yeah, for sure.
On that subject, you guys talking about bands that had inspired you. I had a question regarding the change from the EP to the album in the style of emo that you're playing, with my thoughts, the EP being more straightforward emo, whereas the LP has a ton of twinkly and noodly Midwest emo riffs. Can you recall what bands led to that style change? Was it intentional? What was influencing you at the time of both those releases? And as I said, was it a natural writing progression, or if you could elaborate on any of that, I'd appreciate it.
Gary, why don't you answer?
Yeah, I guess we got moodier as we were getting older or something there. But yeah, I think for me, well, I don't know. I don't want to speak for everyone, but we did listen to a lot of the same stuff because of the band. We were kind of just, there was a lot of interesting things to find on the internet at that time. Still is. But yeah, like Godspeed was a big one, I guess. That was kind of like, it had that more huge sound with some the crescendos and all that. Yeah, like Rockets Red Glare, some of those local bands that we were kind of seeing, or sometimes we're lucky enough to play with, they inspired us to go kind of on a more like dissident post hardcore. I'm not sure what the genres are, but like, yeah, those were definitely seeping into the sound. I think personally, like Slint, I actually was listening to a little bit, but not, that was actually after the record was kind of completed. It reminds me a little bit of their vibe too. But yeah, so like kind of these Mogwai, Godspeed like bands, Explosions in the Sky for me. And then I always had the Midwest emo rolling on heavy rotation still. So other guys, you want to?
Did y'all ever consider writing shorter songs throughout any of these? for both releases.
Are they long? There's one song that's 2 minutes long.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna point out. Got the
The
one.
one, so, the one, the
Touche.
one. But yes, touche, touche.
Just to go back to Gary was
Go.
saying earlier, those bands, a lot of the bands he was listing, definitely is what led us into the later phase. And just to get some sense of contrast, where we started off, like back in the EP days when we were in high school, listening to starting with stuff like Weezer, and then getting into, like Gary said, the Midwest emo, and then the local bands that were of that type that really inspired us, like Moneen. And so a lot of that stuff has a lot more of the pop punk influence, and that like shorter, so a little bit shorter and a little bit like catchier, and that was definitely where we started. And then we had a different drummer for that EP as well, which also contributed to the vibe shift between the two.
Not yet
It
something
kind
to
of makes
add.
sense that you guys listen to like Moaning, like since you're like both from Canada, but like it was never something that I like clocked that like into like your music, to be honest.
It's actually there was this there was I gotta say it, but there was this music like a message board. Message boards were really popular. Basically, the Discords of 2000 early 2000s. Message board called Ontario Music, and we released that EP, and somebody was like, "Yo, man, this sounds like a rip off of Moaning," and we listened to it, and there's this one part in a song, and it's a total direct rip off, and we were such fans, and maybe just like so young that we're totally blindsided. We're like, what? What? I'm like, oh man, it kind of is similar, like the same chord progression.
Which part? What song? I don't. I
Well, I'm not
didn't
gonna
catch
say
that.
that's for the
Oh, I
heads.
didn't
That's for the
clock it. Now
heads
I gotta
to
embarrassed to
take
say it out
apart with
loud.
their little head thing, you know.
I
Music
literally
head
just
figures.
saw Moaning the other weekend too. That's gonna
Oh, yeah.
piss me off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
We have
they're
Swan
lucky.
release songs hiding.
So actually that I think in some ways that was also a catalyst. You know, it's like, you know, if our first EP was like the Alexis on Fire EP or something, where it's like just like banged off right away and people were like, fuck yeah, then we're just gonna like keep doing that thing because it's like we've been validated. But we were kind of like we were just another schmo band from Southern Ontario, and also got called out for ripping off another local band. So we were like, shit, we gotta be serious about what we're doing. We're not just, you know, really like be mindful, be a little bit more mindful, and really challenge yourself to make music that maybe sounds like its own thing. And so that's kind of one of the impetuses for us to really like, how can we expand on these influences that we have and diversify? Because I mean, we were listening to Mogwai and Godspeed and other kind of like slow core bands during the EP era. It's just we hadn't like there's like small, you know, long ass songs. There's one example of like it coming through the music, but as far as like more stylistically and really like working with like pushing dynamic and telling a story and kind of like building and releasing tension and stuff like that. We definitely worked a lot more on after that EP, and you know, yeah, there were some songs that kind of in between the EP and the album that just didn't end up getting fleshed out the album songs, we really, even once we finished writing them and we're playing them live, we spent a whole bunch of time finalizing them, and seemed to work out.
Excited to get the message from someone who hears this and tells me what Moaning riff. Sorry that I took
Oh,
all that
they
and
knew?
diluted it to that little part, but someone will
They
message me and tell me.
Oh, someone messaged you. Oh, I thought this
Somebody
was.
will once they hear this. They'll be like, this is what he was talking about. This is what Matt was on about.
to like go back a little, what bands did you love initial like during your initial run that like you don't really see people talking about like today? Just like see this as like an opportunity to like to shout out some like bands that deserve it.
Can I start? I mean the main one really is Rockets Red Glare, as a band from Toronto. Before Rockets Red Glare, they were in a band called Blake. It's kind of like a more straight ahead, like a math post-hardcore band. Other bands like Okara, this Shotmaker, who got like a little bit of attention because
Shotmaker.
Yeah, Shotmaker.
they put out re-released their album a couple years ago. Other bands like Kepler is kind of like a slowcore band from Ontario.
Remicious Cadid, that's a fun
Yeah,
one
kind of
from
like an
Brantford, Ontario.
indie rock kind of inflected. I'm trying to think other like kind of like large even larger bands. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm trying to You got Gary?
There was From Fiction, who were very cool as well. And then I was gonna say, oh, it slipped me out of my mind. Oh, yeah, Mare was very cool, but I think they're pretty well known. They're on Hydrahead Records or Relapse or one of those. That was like kind of like sludge doom.
Another I haven't heard of them.
big influence for us was a band from Halifax called North of America as well. Kind of like a mathy band. We're kind of like, yeah, regionally popular. I'm trying to think, any other bands that we were. It's all just the other stuff that's like Dirty Three or Songs Ohia or. There's like like music that's kind of like in the periphery of the kind of like emo realm, the Midwest emo realm that we were also listening to at the time, right?
It'd be any realm, to be honest. It doesn't have to be necessarily what influenced your writing, just bands you were fucking with then that nobody's talking about now.
Anyone else, Mark?
Penfold, but I feel like Penfold comes up in at least in the emo circles, but that was a big one for us when we were younger. Still remember getting that package in the mail when I sent off a money order to the UK to order from the UK label.
Oh, there was another band. There's a band called from Ohio called Aloha,
Oh yeah, you
and
love
they had an
Aloha.
album called That's Your Fire, and that really like it was they really like kind of strung some of their songs together, and I think in some ways that was partially influential in how we put our songs together in kind of batches. Or were you getting that from somewhere else, Mark? You kind of headed that. Groups of three.
What? I don't trying to think of where that idea came from. I think it's
Well,
because we had one of our songs that we wrote like that, and it was, I think the sa-sa-sa one, well, yeah, it kind of was just way too big to be a song. And so it was started thinking, got me thinking about, okay, well, what would one song be versus the other? Well, and then, oh, the idea of, well, maybe these songs go back to, I think it's Monin too. Monin used to do some stuff where they'd have songs that were connected somewhat. I think it was another, I don't know. I can't think of the,
yeah, I know what you mean. I
yeah.
think their second album, they do a lot of that.
Yeah, that then that was right when we were.
The Theory of Harmonial Value. Or is
Oh,
it?
the one after that.
that's the red
Oh,
river. Yeah.
I dropped off there.
Well, if we're jumping forward now, I see that you guys are playing Clam Jam 2. Big shout out to the homie from Quahog. So, do y'all fuck with any screamo bands on this 17th fucking wave that we're in right now? Like, and what is it like to know that the screamo community absolutely loves your work? Like, obviously, you guys are supposed to play with Versus Self, but is there any bands from that are active right now that you're fucking with in the screamo scene?
Mark, you want
Sure. I mean,
to
it's
go?
tough for us because, like, that had been a big part of our lives, but like 15 plus years ago. And for the most part, none of us really, I don't think, listening to anything, any of these recent waves until all of this started going, really. Like, being on the fest last summer was a great way to sort of reconnect with the scene that we used to be so active in, but then has completely evolved in new and awesome directions. So, like, I have from the festival, the one I really connected with, Radura, the Italian band. I know that's not super screamo, but there's a decent amount of screaming, and it's really, oh, I love their stuff, and
Italian
they're lovely
screamo is
guys
so
too.
romantic and melodic, and Radura is an amazing band.
Yeah, and they
They're
would
very
watch their
melodic.
set from the side and come up afterwards in Italian accent. Oh, we love all your music, and it was the sweetest thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, another band that I thought was really cool from New Friends Fest, this band, Emma Goldman from Vancouver. They were pretty sick.
While we're shouting out Canadian bands, I dialed your number from Halifax.
Yeah.
Who actually discovered through the newfound Discord.
Yeah, their music's nuts.
Yeah.
Love.
And some of them were at the fest too and said hi, and they were super cool peeps. So, yeah, no.
Yeah, Your Arms Are My Cocoon were another band that really stuck out at the fest that we played.
Mental
And
band, yeah.
then even in the shows we played in the States, we played with this band Pyre, who were just like awesome band. I mean, so we're not like, I'm mostly listening to stuff like, I don't know, Yellow Magic Orchestra or like Turkish psych music. That's kind of the world that I've been like exploring these
What is
days.
Turkish psych music? Sorry to cut you off, but what the fuck is Turkish psych music?
It's
Is that
yeah,
a
just like
genre or a
yeah,
band
like
or?
psychedelic music from Turkey.
Oh, it's
From
exactly what it sounds like. Okay, I'm an idiot. Cool,
Just
cool.
like global psych and garage kind of music, all that kind of like reissue shit. Dub reggae and like Japanese city pop. Like that's the kind of the world that I'm exploring these days. Coming back to just playing shows with some bands, and you're just like, oh shit, these people have like I dealt your number or Your Arms Are My Cocoon. They've kind of like taken all these influences and just like twisted them in such a way that was like unfathomable, and it's really inspiring and glad to see, because there's some other bands that are kind of taking the screamo stuff and really like codified it, like really squaring out what a screamo song is going to be, and it's really like a not to say that it's formulaic, but there's this formula that they have. So anyways, I'm kind of interested in when people are taking this like influences and also like mashing them against like a I don't know. I don't even know what kind of music those kids listen to, and that's what I love about it.
What would you say were like the biggest differences between like the scene today and like the scene when you guys were like first playing shows, besides audience size?
Gary, you got something?
Well, I've only been to a handful of the newer shows, so I don't know if I can compare it well enough yet. But yeah, very DIY back in the day. I remember just playing basements, or which I guess you said, yeah, not the size of the shows. But yeah, it kind of came up. Every little town we went to, there was always some screamo or emo happening at that time. It's just a good outlet for energy, I think, for youth. So it was, yeah, it actually took me a while to like. I think Alexis on Fire was like when I started like embracing screaming or like starting to dig it. I was a little like conservative with my emo in the beginning, and then yeah, it just opened up after. Like, there's a lot of cool. Oh, okay, I don't know. I was gonna go down some. You guys,
Yeah, I would say that the real noticeable difference is there's a lot more like openly queer and like non-binary genderqueer people in the scene that is just like was not existent 20 years ago. There was not that. A lot of the bands, I mean, in our day, screamo was like really vilified for the constant like machismo and like that aggression and the lyrics that were always about like you broke my heart, you stabbed me, like, but it's like this like I don't know, just like one-sided like violence against women
Cliches.
who don't have a voice. It seems like that there's maybe a little bit more openness for different identities. It's still very predominantly like I would say predominantly like lots of white people still, but that even in the past it was there's not a lot of like racial diversity, but definitely very noticeable that there's a lot more queer kids, which is cool to see.
Everybody is welcome now. Yes. Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah, that's the most tangible difference that I've noticed. I mean, I haven't really like dug into lyrics of bands these days, so I don't know exactly if some of those other like I don't know if some of those reactions, like feminist reactions against screamo, have kind of like permeated in to being like embraced and changing kind of with the nature of what the of like how people are like the agency that people are get or like what people are singing about. I don't really know as much.
I hear what you're saying. There's far less villainous portrayal of heartbreak towards females in the lyrics now than
That's good to
there
hear.
was in the
I think people are a
early
lot more self-aware when it comes to things like that, since like we
Yes.
are, it is more diverse now. Like people kind of cringe if like if it's just like a one-sided, like I don't know, things like that.
That's great. Because we that was one thing we like. We never really wrote songs about or like never like directed songs about like love and heartbreak or something. It was more complicated emotions. There's love in there, but it's not like exclusively romantic love and stuff like that. And maybe that's another thing that is kind of like helped our bid compared to some other bands that maybe haven't aged quite as gracefully.
Excellent point. I was waiting on David, but
Oh, I was waiting for Mark.
what's that?
Oh, it's not how the scenes changed.
Yeah.
Oh, you're waiting for Mark. Oh, Mark had something.
Okay,
Yes, please, by all means, by all means.
yeah, I like I would agree with Matt in quite it was probably my favorite thing about our first show was just the vibe and that it was. So speaking to like audience reactions, the first show was so overwhelming for us, not only in like that it was like a super inclusive and just a great feeling of like everybody being together, but also just in the way people react to the music now that they actually know it, right? Like we were always back when we were playing shows, trying to win people over, trying to figure out our own sound, whereas this is our first time ever playing with people knowing the words and like and then just like anticipating parts or cheering when they recognize the song, and all that was it was especially the first show really overwhelming and just like unreal. It had a real sort of like not this I never would have imagined could be happening, and it is. So that was really, really awesome.
Yeah, cool. Would you guys say, like, do you have a favorite moment in the like the touring so far?
I don't have a moment, but it's I will say it's amazing to be spending more time with these guys because there's some other bands that I've been in that I would not want to be spending time with some people. So the fact that it was this band that got a response, it's been really a treasure to like spend. I mean, we never really lost contact, but we diverged in many ways, and the fact that we're meeting regularly to jam is and playing shows and traveling is amazing, and I hope we can do more of it.
In a moment that stands out for me related to that, because like for me, what I missed most about the band was, like Matt was saying, the connection and feeling a deep connection with people I've known a long time. And that actually was what stood out at the show as well, was actually like after the concerts, talking to people and hearing different stories of where they came from just to see us play, or like when the album connected with them and how much of an impact it had at certain times in their lives. There's a story after story like that, a person after person you meet. And like, it's one thing when it's like comments below an Instagram post, but it's another thing when you're like learning about someone's life and learning about, this thing that you, that brought us both there. And it was just like super, super cool. And everybody's just really fun and nice too, which is awesome. We're signing autographs. That's about that. That's
Seriously?
yeah. I must feel
Yeah.
huge.
That's sick.
It was weird.
It was weird.
Yeah, the amount of like people who have like opened up to us about their life problems and how our music help them,
Amazing.
see some light in some dark times is that's another, dream come true. You make music because you feel something and you want to share those feelings, and for somebody to like receive those and make them feel as well is that's why we started making music.
Yeah, I was just gonna add that at that festival, like just the crowd, like being very quiet in our quiet parts, I was really like moved by that. I was like, wow, people are actually listening here. Like, because I don't know why this popped in my head, but we played a show in like one of our favorite little towns in Ontario, Cobourg, and I just remember two. We were playing, and then two guys kind of just whipped it out and had a sword fight during our set. And I was like, kind of questioning my life at that point. I'm like, man, like, we're
What?
playing some like moody music here, but two guys are just sword fighting. Like, what am I doing, man? But yeah, huge contrast at the fest. So,
Had none of that at the fest. No. Wasn't.
insanely disrespectful and childish. What were they like,
Well, you know,
teenagers?
Coburg, anything goes. It's one of
It's quite a small town. Quite a small
Coburg's
town.
like Welland.
Yeah,
Oh, wait, can I actually
it's
stop
got
down up
some
here? No one
Welland
knows.
vibes.
No one listening to this is going to know what Welland is.
That's
Fuck
true.
it. I was like, I can say whatever I want.
Welland is the city beside the town beside the city.
It
It's
is
the
the
town
armpit of
beside the
Ontario.
town. Yeah.
It's the armpit of Ontario. I've been saying that forever.
It's also called the Rose City.
Oh,
Well, is that Welland?
they do have an awesome motto. Do you know what their motto is?
I
Ready
actually
for
don't
this?
know. Yeah, I get it.
The town's name is Welland, and their motto is, "It's all well and good."
Fuck. It's all well and good, eh?
Pretty good.
That sucks. I hate that. Well, everybody would hate me for not doing my job if I didn't ask, can we expect new material? You guys are playing, you're doing shows. You want to give me an inch? You want to lie to me? You want to give me
Inches.
something?
I mean,
Maybe.
our approach to the summer was like, let's relearn the album, Let's play these shows and we'll see how it goes. So we were able to relearn the album, and then we were able to play those shows, and the shows went, for the most part, really, really, really well. And so, yeah, we took a bit of a break after the summer. Lives sort of kicked up, but then we said,
As it does.
well, we don't want to do that again. And now we started practicing again. So that's kind of, we're trying to see what's there, if anything is still there.
So it's not a no,
It's not a no.
but it's not a
He's
yes.
playing hard to get.
I'll take it. I'll
Gotta
take it.
dangle that carrot.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Okay. So since y'all are on a slight reunion, I mean, like you said, you've been practicing, playing some shows. If there's one band you could see do a reunion show, who would it be and why? It's a question we ask almost every episode. Just one, because you're probably thinking of like 100 right now.
I personally am not into when, bands
Says
reunite. I think it's
the
lame.
band that just recently reunited.
Yeah, we had a lot of mixed feelings about doing it. At
Nice.
least, like,
Okay.
getting it took us a while to get on board with the idea.
Yeah, it took some convincing. Actually, no, I was totally down to play a show with these guys, but also at the same time, I'm not actually that interested in seeing bands reforming.
Good
Yeah,
answer.
that's my answer.
Good honest answer. Like,
None of them.
fuck them all. Stay retired.
Yeah,
Mark, Gary?
don't suck up the air of all these new amazing bands.
True, there's a lot. Is there a special reunion band that maybe Mark or Gary would like to see? A less
I
pessimistic view from.
mean, we often talk about Rockets or Glare would be fun, though we did see one of their reunion shows.
Not me.
No, you never you run at the post-combatant hall one way
No,
back.
I didn't go.
Oh
Do you
man,
know why? Because I
why?
don't think it's cool if
Oh
bands
right,
get back
I should
together.
nice.
Should have seen that one coming.
Speaking of taking the bait.
Who's Can you pick dead people?
Sure, yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
You always have regrets. Like, I saw Neil Young this summer because I didn't want to have this regret.
He's not even dead.
I'm
I
sorry to hear
know, but I'm saying
that.
that,
He's
and
alive still?
He's
they had to cancel
singing.
the tour not long after because they all got
As
sick.
old
Just
people do.
saying. But
I
no,
had to mute
so
myself
like, I
from
don't
laughing.
know.
You're serious, Neil Young.
No. I was saying that's why I went to see him, so it wouldn't happen. But just like, I don't know, one of my favorite live albums is a Nina Simone album. And so like I often think like if the timing had worked out to be able to go see her, just like bucket list shows like that.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
guess I'd go see Captain Beefheart if they pulled him out of the grave.
What about Turkish? There's no Turkish psych bands you want to reunite? Not
Barış
that.
Manço? I'd go see Barış Manço. That'd be a sick show.
I hope you're not making up that band name.
Barış
No one will ever
Manço?
know. No one will ever know.
No, the fans will research. If you're not wrong,
Barış? they might.
I
Gary, do you have a band that you could you would like to
have
see do a reunion show, even if they're
Yo, I saw Mineral when they reunited in the,
Ooh,
I was in
jealous.
England at the time. And that
Nice.
was awesome for me. I was so obsessed with that band when I was in my teens. So I actually did not mind that. Like I was into it. Because I never seen them. That's the thing. If I've never seen them and they reunite, I think it still is kind of
That's
special.
another
And
one. I would kill to see Penfold. And it,
yeah.
yeah, I saw some grainy footage of their final shows in New Jersey and everybody on stage singing along. Like, I'd go.
Yeah, it's like you just turn into a kid. Everyone was singing along
Yeah.
at Mineral. So I was gonna say like the Gloria record, the band that came after Mineral. Actually, that would be cool. I was digging. I just been li recently listening to them a little bit these days too. So you, yeah, let's
I
see.
was gonna see Mineral when they reunited, but then like I got like so like absorbed in like finals at the time. I was like in college, that I forgot about it. And then like maybe like a few days later I see the ticket like on my phone. I'm like, oh shit, I just like missed like the biggest like band that I wanted to see at the time.
Oh no.
I'm still hoping that they'll come back again.
Did yeah, you hopefully another round.
I was gonna ask if you did well, if you did well in the course at least. Like, was your finals good? Was it worth it?
I don't know. This is like 4 years ago.
True.
I probably passed.
All right. Time for a hard, hard left turn. So near the end of our interviews on Not Just a Phase, we got a couple standard questions we like to ask that pretty much have absolutely fucking nothing to do with music. The first one is actually still related to your band, though. This is wildly off topic. But I don't know when there's going to be a good time for this question. So, did you ever get a check from Roblox, or at least find out how you got on there?
I guess this one's mine. No, nothing.
No.
I not like we really reached out for them to for an explanation or anything, but it was just, yeah, no, somebody spotted it, posted it to our Discord, the screenshot, and I went and investigated the link, and there it was. But it's, I don't know, like it's just they're demoing a new feature on their website, and in the little video clip of them, of the developers demoing it, the feature was that you could have a music player on screen with you while you're playing Roblox. And they used our band as the example of a song you play while you're playing Roblox, which is wild.
Is Roblox like a popular game or something?
Yeah, with the kids.
Yeah, with the
Yeah.
kids. It's
Yeah.
like, yeah.
So you're saying there is money there?
But it's also, well,
Mark, why did you not alert me to this earlier?
Roblox makes their money by getting kids to build games within the Roblox world. So it's like free child labor. They make a lot of their money that way.
Cool.
It's really messed
Damn.
up.
So
So
Matt
there's
wants
no
some of
money
that
there.
money. So there's money.
Exploit the children. Get
I
more kids to steal their parents' credit cards.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was feeling all this time.
It's like those Minecraft memes where it's like the children, they yearn for the mines. It's terrible. It's so accurate though. Yeah, Roblox is, I didn't expect that when I saw that post on your Instagram. I was like, how the fuck did you get on there? Okay. Well, another wild left turn. A lot of Not Just a Phase fans are international. In fact, most of our fans are American, but we get heard all over the world. So Canada's like a big mystery, this whole country, to almost everyone who doesn't live here. So I'm curious, what's your guys' favorite Canadian food? Poutine, all dressed chips, maybe Timbits, Harvey's. Don't say ketchup chips because they're disgusting.
I mean, the band for a long time had a big thing with poutine, so can't lie. It was like
Makes sense.
we would tour in Quebec, but that was our primary focus besides the shows, or at least
Yeah, that
mine.
that's the
Yeah, that
real
was
Poutine. That's the Poutine. How they say it, yeah.
the furthest we got in touring was Quebec. Quebec City was the furthest we ever got from Toronto.
Sick,
We
though.
were being so that was yeah. First time on tour, we found out about this new French fried dish.
Well, we knew it existed before we went on tour.
You didn't know about it till you hit Quebec.
But it wasn't definitely not popular in Toronto in 2005, 2004.
Oh,
Anyways,
true. I wonder when smokes poutinerie became like a thing.
Yeah.
I'd say
I feel
like
like,
20, 2008, 2010.
yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like I was like 19 or 20 when that like popped off.
Yeah,
It's
poutine's
getting old.
delicious.
Getting old. Yes, it is.
When I was younger, my wife and I used to do couch surfing, where we stay on people's couches for free while we're traveling. And then the idea was that we would host people when we weren't traveling. So one time we hosted, when we lived in Toronto, we took people to our favorite bar, which doesn't exist anymore. But that bar was famous for having six different types of Caesars.
Which bar? I
So.
also fucking love Caesars. Good call, Canadian drink. Thank
Caesar,
you. They
right?
call them
Right?
Bloody Marys.
So
They call
I'm
them
with
Bloody
Mark on
Marys
this
in the
one.
States, but they're not as
No.
innovative
They don't
as a
use
Caesar.
Clamato.
They do not
Neither
use
those
Clamato juice,
clams.
which is
Speaking of
crazy.
clam jams,
Let's get it. Yep.
Anyway, so this the we got our person who's visiting from Poland to try it. She takes a sip, she licks her lips, and she's like, "This tastes like cold alcoholic soup." She was disgusted. It's
Accurate.
actually a pretty accurate description of a Caesar.
It's delicious. It's delicious. Caesar, great answer. Actually, the best answer I've had for Canadian food. Fuck yeah. Fucking love Caesars. Best cure to any hangover as well. Gary's laughing. He's on mute, but he's laughing. All right, another hard left. What's the most illegal or dangerous thing that you've ever done in your life that you're willing to put on a very public international podcast? Don't incriminate yourself. But you can also say hypothetically, keep names out of the. And it can be dangerous. Doesn't have to be illegal, but illegal or dangerous. Oh, Matt's ready.
We're a bunch of good boys.
I separated my shoulder at one of our shows. That was
Is that
pretty
dangerous?
dangerous. It was.
Doing what?
A self-harm, I guess. How
So I
did
used to
you?
have a thing, a party trick I used to do when I was a teenager. I called it the fall, where I would purposely fall and fly through the air like I was out of control. But if I landed flat on my back with my weight distributed, it didn't hurt at all, but it looked like it really hurt. So we played at a Lions, was it a Lions Hall in Georgetown?
One
Something
of
like that.
those. Yeah.
A place without a stage, essentially. And it was the middle of winter, so as we're playing,
Lions
people are
Halls.
slush dragging all this slush onto the gym floor. We're playing it, but it was a good audience, people really into it. And for whatever reason, I got this idea in my head, I'm gonna do the fall. Like I'm just like, let's go. It's gonna be right at the peak of the song or whatever. And I do it, but I slip on the slush and I land all my weight on my shoulder and it separates. And I blacked out for a second too.
Oh,
Yeah, so I once I sort of came
like
back
during a song.
during the middle of a song, yeah, like it was like middle of a song. You guys are still playing, and I'm like, oh crap, I gotta start playing. I was worried about a concussion, but I couldn't lift up my arm to play. And so then that cause sort of the show was done from there. But we
You
sold out of
shouldn't be
merch that night, so that was totally
laughing,
worth it.
sure there was a lot of
You
gasps
sold
and
it.
like screaming.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been arrested, but I've never done anything illegal.
Oh, what were you arrested for?
You
And how did you get arrested if it wasn't illegal?
were
Well, then again, cops, good point. Just answered my own question.
arrested.
Answered my own question so quickly. What did you do?
I was living in a house with some friends, and we had a party when we got evicted, and we were having a party, and my band, the band that came after Newfound, was playing. And some people came to that party to like fuck up the house.
Hell yeah.
So like I like this is I was like, this is a bad scene, I'm out of here. So I left, but then came back later to be like, did we get all our gear out of the space? These people are being like savages. And it was then that somebody lit the house on fire, and the police came, and my bandmate couldn't find his keys. We had all the gear in the van, but he dropped his keys somewhere. So we're looking for the keys, and I didn't want to bolt, so I stuck around, and then the cops came and arrested us and told us that they found a dead body inside the house, but there was no fucking dead
What?
body. And I
You
was it was
kids want to
like
see a dead body.
yeah. It's kept us in the police precinct overnight, and then I'd spend a bunch of money on a lawyer. And now whenever I cross the border, the border agents,
Really?
they're like, "Hey, why'd you get arrested in 2005?" I have to be like, "Well, I used to be in this band, okay, so guess that's
Hard band. Matt's a pyro.
I
Crazy.
did not have a lighter
Allegedly.
or a
He didn't start
match.
the
I did not start the fire.
fire.
I went to a show in Kensington Market. I'm out of fucking out of here. Violent weirdos. Anyways, that's my story.
A good one. Gary, you got something?
It's gonna be hard to beat.
Mine's really, sorry.
It's gonna be hard to beat that. Yeah,
Mine's
for
really not
sure.
badass. Like, it's the thing that keeps popping into my head. I was actually living in LA at the time, and I had this like rebellious friend. We were 9 years old or 10. I was in a Costco for the first time in my life, and they give you a bunch of free samples, all these sweet ladies, and you're just getting you get, I don't know, like 10 samples at least. And then my buddy convinced us to steal some candy. So I actually we took a couple. I don't know. I somehow made my hand move and take a couple out of the some like Laffy Taffy or some sort of something like that. And then I kept getting more samples, and my conscience was just bugging me. And I'm like, man, all these nice people are giving us free things, and then we're stealing. So I put a couple of them back. A couple of the things back, but I don't know. I had to keep one just to get respect, I guess, from my buddy. So I think I did steal something from, sorry, Costco.
This has been weighing on Gary's mind for
This, thanks,
33
guys, for
years.
this
He's finally let it out.
outlet here.
See, I told
Shit,
you,
you
we're
guys
good boys. We're
are a
good
bunch of
boys.
badasses. I don't know, man. That's some crazy stories. Y'all are hard.
Gary's story actually reminds me when I was like a kid. My dad and I were like at a deli, and like I saw like this like gummy, like like those burgers that they have that are like just like gummies. Like I wanted one, and I held on to it, and I was like, I forgot that I had it in my hand. I walk home with it, and I realize, oh shit, I just stole, and I'm like six or something. I felt so guilty that I just flushed it down the toilet. I didn't even eat it. Oh.
Destroyed the evidence.
Good boy.
Shit.
That's good.
Sweet.
Wow. All right. So since you guys are all such fucking badasses, this is the one question our fans usually really like. Assuming none of you are pacifists, pretty good assumption since you're all so hard and crazy. If you could punch any one person in the face as hard as you can, one time, no repercussions. Who's taken the punch and why? You got some thinking for those of you listening to that dead air.
Yeah. You're asking the wrong band. I don't
I
really.
ask every band, that's why I do it.
Man, we are like the least fighty people. Like it's I find this like uncomfortable to think about. I just don't like I don't even
There's
like
not a
I don't
single person you want to punch in the face.
know.
You gotta be kidding me.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
Definitely is.
Like
You can pass, but I know there's somebody there if you really work on it.
there's so many people.
Oh,
Maybe
Matt.
not. Maybe it's just me
There we
then.
go. Okay, Matt.
The
Maybe Mark's gonna take the pass. Mark.
catharsis that could be had at punching some people who
Yeah, and
deserve
they just have to take it. Just one punch. You don't have to kill the guy. Just punch him right in the face or woman, whoever.
Yeah, there's some people who truly deserve a real punch.
Absolutely. Who's top of that list for you, Matt? Trudeau? It's an
No,
easy target.
Trudeau's just a windbag. I mean, that's what all the people at the top are.
Can I punch a truck or a car that's like,
You can
what's
punch
it?
whatever the fuck you want, Mark. Where are you
Yeah,
going with this? Where are you
the
going with
cars
this?
that like have weaponized Canadian flags,
Oh, wow.
like that, like or at least like. Make it seem like the only way to be patriotic is F. Trudeau and anti-vaxxing and all that. And
Yes.
you're like, I like those people can have their beliefs, that's fine. Like obviously, whatever, like teach their own, I'm fine with that. But then trying to make it seem like, that's the Canadian way and that represents all of
Yeah.
Canada. That really grinds my gears.
Yeah, using the Canada flag to represent bigotry is
Yeah.
not a good look. Fuck those guys.
I
Yeah,
like
let's say
that
you
punch.
too.
No one's ever wanted to punch like a concept. I usually go with person,
That's
but
my
that's
speed.
beautiful, Mark. Thank
That's
you. Thank
my
you. Great
speed.
answer. See, you worked for it, and I appreciate that you dug for that. Thank you. That is true because those fuck Trudeau things, you see them on like every truck, and you're like, okay, I don't like them either. But like, Does it need to say that it speaks for all of us or for everybody, or that's like an entire identity? Eh.
Can we translate this for the American audience? Do they
Oh,
know
please do.
who Trudeau is?
The
Guy
guy
who
we
did
know.
blackface? I'm assuming that's how they might know it.
Think at the same time you can just like we can relate to like all the truckers like out here that like
Oh,
put
sure.
all their flags on the back of the truck, or like some of them even put like a picture of like Biden tied up in the trunk.
No shit. That's
Oh.
dark, man.
I don't
Man,
know. It's just
y'all
it's
are
definitely
crazy.
strange and obsessive. But like
Y'all
I
unhealthy.
like do whatever you want, but like why do you care that much?
Yeah, man, I don't know. There's so many amazing people in the United States, but there's a lot of garbage there too. Like bad opinions of like a
Yeah, we
real
know.
imperialist country, and Canada's just like the little brother looking at that and picking and choosing things sometimes. And yeah, this fuck Trudeau thing is totally like the Canadian version of the MAGA set, I guess.
A comparison.
It's
I don't
dark.
like the guy personally, but I see the point in making that your identity. It's so
Yeah, it's
fucking
all
ridiculous.
hyperbole. It's people who have, sometimes people are so close to getting it, but they just don't understand how far away they are. And like actually understanding,
Oh, Jesus.
it's
We got two questions left. Gary, did you have a punch in mind throughout all this
I'm
discourse?
thinking of some relatives here. I'm gonna keep it. I'm just gonna stay silent.
Speaking of relatives,
That's
shout out to the family. It's, you know what? We're a couple days away from Christmas. We should all be thinking of our
I know
family
that's
right now. It's
I
a
get
beautiful
back to you
sentiment.
after Christmas. So.
Hell yeah, Gary. I appreciate that. All right, one last crazy left turn before we get into the wrapping up session. If you guys could give the world a gift, what would it be and why? It does not have to be a material possession. It does not have to be a PS5, but I would love one.
Are we giving it to theoretically like everyone in the world gets this?
The entire population. Yes, sir.
Boy.
Oh, yeah, take your time. Especially since you didn't have the questions ahead of time. It's a big thinker. I don't know how to answer this. I just like asking it. Putting people on the spot, it's what I do.
Food? There's hungry people out there. If I'm
Oh
giving
yeah.
everybody something,
That's a good answer.
food and shelter, can't go wrong with that. Universal basic income, baby.
Essentials.
I was just gonna say one big long breath in and out. So everybody
I
just
haven't got
take a
that answer
breath.
yet. I haven't got that answer yet. It's a good one.
So food, air, shelter, really. Everybody gets a bag of ketchup chips.
Fucking worst answer, Gary.
I
Ketchup chips are so bad, dude. They're not, they're just, even if you like them, they're not that good. I don't get it. Yes, for those of you international listeners, ketchup chips are a thing in Canada, unfortunately. I don't get what is so great about them, but David's going to take us home with the last two
With
questions here.
sorry, I would just say
Oh, you had a
without ketchup chips, you would not be able to have all dress chips.
Which
Some
is
which is important Canadian cuisine. All
ooh, you
dress
guys have
chips.
mustard chips?
Ooh,
Now I
no.
need. Ketchup chips do imply the existence of mustard chips, but now I have to Google what came first, the ketchup chip or the all dress chips, because all dress chips are delicious, but ketchup chips kind of suck.
What about the dill
Okay.
pickle?
I love dill pickle. Who doesn't love a good dill pickle? All right, David, get us off of this crazy train.
Right, yeah.
How do we wrap
Away from
this?
chips, back to focusing on music. Is there any like big goal or like milestone that you guys are looking out for, like now that like you've like put like both records out, of re-releasing it, done like a few shows? What's next for you guys?
I mean, I would like to try some Japanese chips at some point in Japan.
For the band. Oh,
And
you want to go
if
to
the
Japan?
band can get us there, that's our joke. We always talk about how like we're doing this because we want to play Japan. It's like when all else fails, just keep working. Maybe this can get us to Japan one day.
Is that
It's
the
like
joke or is that like the ultimate?
the joke and the dream
Nice.
for some of us. So that'd be awesome.
I'm down with that. Matt, Gary.
Andre.
I'm just ready to rest on my laurels, you know, just like floater out into retirement, making money off those $5 shows. That's penny
Roblox.
fractions, penny fractions, baby. Yeah,
Not if I royalties.
Roblox. All right, perfect,
Maybe
guys.
sneak some new material in there somewhere.
Ooh. Hell yeah, please.
Yeah.
Gary's got some good goals. I like
I don't
it.
know if it's gonna be any good, but
that's a mountain to climb though. Too similar, not similar enough.
I think
Too
if it was
long.
just even just like one like new song, people would eat it up.
True.
And spit it out.
Matt's already being so positive about it.
Have a very, very thick filter. Things are really gonna, they really gotta get through. I'm gonna go through the ringer to be newfound worthy.
Fuck yeah, guys. This has been such a fun chat, informative, good times. Before we roll credits, any last shout outs, any plugs, any causes you want to speak on, fucking anything you want to talk about, the floor is yours, the mic is yours. And then on the audio podcast, we will play the outro and say our sayonaras.
We are playing in Providence at that Quay Hog Fest, the Clam Jam they mentioned, just starting with band stuff. We're going to be playing in March at Eric's label anniversary. Is it third? How many? 20? What is it? Yeah,
Yeah, it'd be
20.
a record label that our fr the first release on this record label was the Newfound album 20 years ago, and so they're celebrating their 20th anniversary in Toronto in March.
Which label? Plug the
We
label.
are Busybodies.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'd lo also love to. We're trying to make the California thing happen again. The shows that got canceled. We'd love to. You know, we love to play more shows, and have some things we're working on getting offers and trying to make them work, for the US and other international places. Really hoping that can come to fruition. Mark, somebody's releasing the album on a cassette,
Oh
right?
yeah. Your Micah Coon, their label, Reasonable Records, is going to be doing a tape run of the cassette. I think the goal's to have it ready for their next batch of shows. So that's pretty fun. Somebody who, again, I met through the Newfound Discord. I guess I could plug that. Go to our Instagram and go to our link pop. And you can join from there. We run an occasional music league. That's always fun. Done three or four of those. Everybody's cool. Good time. It's all about the community.
Any issues you want to bring up?
Yeah.
I think I've already gotten political enough.
You don't want to get into the Middle East,
Oh boy.
I like how Matt started
American
hosting, right?
imperialism or Nothing.
Gary, did you have any closing thoughts you wanted to leave us on about American
Stay
imperialism or
silent
whatever the
here.
fuck Matt's on about?
Silence is the key sometimes.
I love it. I
I
love
just
it.
appreciate this podcast for having us on, and yeah, I don't know, just keep listening to emo and screamo and all that.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, eh?
Beautiful. Beautiful. It's good stuff.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.